Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 17 Denver Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
How you feeling, brother? I mean, I know there's a cold snap all across the country, even though some people on this show are in hot water. How you feeling?
Flashbacks? I'm good. You know, we're bracing for it. I think the shelves at the grocery store started to be emptied yesterday. I saw videos and pictures on social media today of empty shelves. So we're ready for it, but at least there's no precipitation. So it's not like the snowpocalypse of 2021 where we had to do that one show. I had to do it from my phone and call in because I had no power, no water, no food. Yeah, that was a fun.
Drinking out of the toilet. I mean,
yeah. I wasn't doing all that. Wasn't doing all that. Wasn't doing all that. So it's good. It's good. And let's just say welcome to all the Cowboy fans who turned the game off and said, you know, let's go listen to what the regular guys are talking about because this game is over.
Well, if you came for some sympathy, this is the wrong place.
Nope.
Ariadne said, hey, I wasn't sure y'all were doing this live tonight. Yep. See, we promised we would do this. Remember, we said this last week that we're going to be a little late because Terrell was traveling, I was traveling, and so we'd have to do this. And then, of course, tomorrow, we're actually starting episode one of Ready to Love. And Terrell is so anxious to get that started.
I'm so anxious to talk trash about this show because I watched episode one. I'm like, I'm going to have a field day with this. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right, let's get to it, man, because, you know, here we are. We get the show started, episode starting 27 days until decision day, or as Becca calls it, Marriage Survivor Edition.
So, yeah, so this one starts out. It kicks off with Claire saying how she feels it's strange to wake up without Cameron. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, come on, girl, you know you're happy that Cameron's not there.
Right.
You're not happy about his situation, but you're happy that he's not there.
With Dr. Pepper about Cameron.
Dr. Pia. And
Dr. Pia. I get these P's mixed up. So, until they come on the screen, you're like, okay, I know which one's which. So, Dr. Pia checks it with Claire, and she says she's feeling a little guilty because of Cameron's health issues. But she doesn't say what it is. Now, we know what it is because he checks in later, but she starts crying. Are you believing her tears?
I haven't believed her tears most of this season. So, no, I think, Cameron comes out, says he's sick. You know, he has a heart condition and Claire's feeling guilty about it. And it's not that her wanting to separate is what caused the heart condition.
Right.
But she's crying and feels like the way Cameron's feeling with his health is due to the problems with their relationship. And so Dr. Pia is like, no, you can't blame yourself for his health conditions because the relationship didn't work out. But I still feel like it's about her. She's trying to make herself look good on TV and that she's doing the right thing. So I don't think she cares.
That's exactly how it feels, right? As Nikki B says, cap, Kendra with the cap emoji three times. Michelle says fake. Marla says Cameron is manipulating with all that heart condition. I'm not saying that he's because here's the thing. He even said himself, will this condition have happened if we stayed together? We don't know. He's supposed to go for surgery in a few weeks. So, but he's not blaming her for it. He's just saying, hey, here's the situation. I'm here by myself. I can't really be around people because my heart rate goes up and which is not good for him. Now, Claire tells Dr. Pia that Cameron told her the best way for her to help him is to basically just stop worrying about me. I'll be fine.
Well, I think that's fair, you know, because you got to keep in mind, Cameron's felt rejected this whole time. So if you've been rejecting me all this time, don't worry about me now.
Right.
Yeah, that I feel like that's what he's suggesting. And she's concerned and with the fact that he doesn't really have any support, a lot of family. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Pia suggests that she offers her friends and family as a support for Cam. I think that would make Cam feel worse.
You think so? Why?
You already rejected me. Mm-hmm. All your friends and family know you rejected me, but now they're all going to be here to help me. And she says that maybe it was just meant for them to be in each other's lives. I'm like, you can't reject somebody like that and treat Cameron the way she did on TV and then expect it all to be good.
Now, I was thinking, and I'm sure you probably did too, what Brandy Yvonne is saying, which is this heart issue must run in Cameron's family, right?
I was curious to know, because you don't really hear what his dad suffered with.
Right.
Or what his dad's condition was. You just know that his health declined when his wife left him.
Right.
And we all can agree. I'm no doctor.
I didn't realize. I forgot that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot.
So I'm no doctor, but I think we all know that this stuff just doesn't cause sicknesses and illnesses. So there could have been something, maybe an underlying condition that maybe Cam didn't even know about, because you got to figure he's very active. Mm-hmm. All the hiking and biking and stuff like
biking,
that. So
yeah.
He's been active. Maybe it's similar to, LeBron James' son, right? Where super athletic.
Right.
In great shape, and all of a sudden has a heart condition, right? So anything could happen with that. But I just don't think that her and her family and friends being around him is what Cameron would want.
Let's be real. Cameron's mom leaving his dad is not the same as Claire leaving Cameron.
Well, yeah, they had more than 5 weeks. You know, his dad was with this woman longer than 5 weeks. Cameron only known Claire for 5 weeks.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I could totally see it's not the same. Not apples to apples.
Look, before we move on from them, I got to ask this question, because I know I'm not the only one who noticed this. Did you notice Dr. Pia's rock?
No.
She had an engagement ring on. Am I the only one that noticed this?
I didn't notice it.
See, Keedy noticed.
Yeah, Keedy noticed.
Yeah, I am actually not surprised that you didn't notice, but I saw it and I was like, okay, Dr. Pia flex. Cause she held it, kept it in the shot the whole time like this.
But what we all don't know before we start patting her on the back, it could be a CZ. Who knows?
So it's the thought that counts. The thought was, this is going to look good on camera.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's get to this other couple that has had nothing but issues this season. Emily and Brennan, man. Apparently, they had a falling out the night before. And Emily has no understanding as to what happened.
Yeah. So after the infamous dinner scene and then them arguing in the car, Brennan was upset with Emily's words, was upset with how she was acting crazy. So he went back to his place instead. Mm-hmm. Now, on the after party, Brennan says that after that dinner, they go back to the house and he had people over.
Right.
And apparently Emily got really drunk and tried to rip the shower curtain down and jump in the shower with him. And then I guess he was trying to sleep. She wouldn't really let him sleep. Then she tried to smother him with a pillow. Just all this craziness that happened. So I'm like, you start to hear more about, and this is why I'm glad Brennan's coming out after party saying some stuff, because the show really makes Brennan look like a monster.
Right.
But there's something there about Emily that we don't know. And I think it has to do with the drinking.
So, okay. Because you mentioned that to me. So I made sure when I watched it that I went to the after party. And I watched just that part, right? And the funniest thing to me was Keisha Knight pulling him just like, all right, wait. She tried to, she said, no, let me explain. She ripped the shower curtain down, tried to get in the shower with me. And then he kind of explained that she was all on top of him the whole time that he was trying to sleep. And even Austin had to be like, yeah, there was no attempted murder here. Let's just get that clear.
Yeah.
Keisha seemed very relieved. But it's interesting, because this is something I think you mentioned in the very beginning about her. And one of the things that I know is a pet peeve of mine is that sloppy drunk. We talked about it from the bachelorette party. I think you initially brought it up as something that maybe a turnoff for Brennan. Then we went to, of course, what he mentioned on the after party, which was the one night stands, because that's what he said. But this sounds, and you suggested that maybe when she hurt her head and when she fell on, because coming out of the shower, maybe she was drunk then.
Yep. And I think Mario hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this time we've been saying that we think the issue that Brennan has is the fact that, you know, she's not been in a relationship and had all these one night stands. And he even brought that up on the after party. But I'm thinking that during that honeymoon, they were good. Mm-hmm. And he's probably did. I think they did sleep together. Because mm-hmm. if not, I can't understand why Emily would be doing these things, right? Imagine if you've not slept with someone before, and then you're going to try to rip the shower curtain down to get in with them. Now, unless you're just a raging drunk and don't realize what you're doing.
Come on. That's an exaggeration of rip the shower curtain down to get in there with him. She was trying to get in the shower with him, stumble because she was tipsy, drunk, messy drunk, whatever, and rip the shower curtain. It's not like she was like, ah, let me in there.
Maybe she did. And that scared Brendan.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she did and that scared him. But regardless, if...
Give me a D, open the shower.
I think it's the drinking part. So if she got that drunk and was doing all those things, then maybe that's what the issue is that Brendan has with her. But you can just tell his whole interactions every time. He is not in it. He's checked out for the most part. I mean, he just seems very checked out of it. But he won't quite say what the issue is. But I think we all know. I think Emily just gets sloppy drunk. And like you and me, we wouldn't be down for that.
Yeah, as Pat says, Emily was drunk and horny.
There's a difference of drunk and horny and sloppy drunk and horny.
You know, you always talk about a guy who wants you is going to want you until you show up sloppy drunk. Let's be real.
Yeah.
And Mario's actually right. The editing is horrible this season. They are not showing... they're not showing a lot of stuff. And some of the stuff you could tell, the overdubs were bad. And we'll get to some of that later because I know you noticed it because that's kind of stood out to you a lot. As I've tried to just ignore that. But yeah, it was so obvious today. In this episode, it was terrible, man. Let's move on to the next couple here. Becca and Austin. Because Becca is going to share her passion with Austin. And I think this was actually pretty great. And she does it with a surprise for Austin towards his friends. Ashley and Derek show up with their kids, and she's going to let Austin shoot them. Okay, photography, yes.
Yeah.
Just make sure, in case you hadn't watched the episode, because some people just come to listen to it and haven't seen the episode. Photography.
I don't think anybody would have jumped to that conclusion, but that's fine.
Never know. It's been a crazy season.
Yeah. I thought this was great. Because Austin got to see Becca in her element at work, right? Mm-hmm. And I think all of us, I mean, I'm sure you've done phenomenal things on radio, but I can't fathom what that means other than what you tell me. But then the time I saw you at Jerkfest and like in your element, I'm like, holy crap, I looked at you in a different light. I still think you're an ass a little bit, but I looked at you in a different light. And so I think Austin, I think, looks at Becca in a new light, watching her as she is with the kids, how she interacts with the kids. I mean, she's great with it. And I like how she let Austin take the pictures because I think that helps him also really understand what she's seeing and what she's going for. For those of us that don't have a photography eye, I thought it was great. So really, I thought it was an overall great experience. And I thought the photos that they showed came out really nice.
It was. And it, like you said, he got to see her in her light and having done family photos and watching, she did the things that I've watched our photographers do with my daughter. You know, and come out so you can get the shot. And she seemed to genuinely enjoy it. And a lot of them do, especially if the kids are smiling, the kids are into it, the kids are following instructions. Because even Austin's friends call it a child whisperer. Like you're like a child whisperer. Y'all want to hold him for a while?
Yeah.
Which is what they were saying. So I agree with you. It was definitely great to see them, and I thought it was a great moment. I don't think it's going to save them, but it was a great moment. It was a great moment.
Yeah, I thought it was a great moment, too. I mean, I don't think that's going to make him also want to sleep with her now, but I think he got a chance to see what Becca's really like in her work environment and what she could be like around children.
Exactly. Now, we got a chance to see Emily and her hating-ass friend, Lily. This was the hating-ass friend, right?
Yes. This was the one that wasn't speaking all that positively about Emily the day of the wedding.
Now,
and when they were painting wedding dresses. That's when she was hating the most.
Hating the most, yeah, exactly. She's been hating all up to this point. So I think this was probably the best light they showed her in, unless they edited out all the other stuff. Because Emily talks to her and says, look, it's really ridiculous that Brendan can't tell when she's upset, even though everybody else there can. I mean, I know you hate the fact that she's just, you know, talking with her eyes, even though Melissa's like, look, I love Emily's eye expressions. They speak for themselves. You are like, no, use your words, speak up, and stop just rolling your eyes.
Yeah. If you go up to a restaurant and you get food and they come by to check on you, how is everything, Yanni? You're going to be like, you're going to say something. You're going to use your words and say something. You're just going to make eye expressions. Are we supposed to interpret what that means? Oh, it's so good. You had to roll your eyes in your head. Thank you. You know what I mean? I just think she needs to use her voice and speak up. But she's trying to tell Lily about how Brennan doesn't communicate. And oh my goodness, the amount of time she kept saying like, that's just one of those things that annoys me.
I can tell.
It's a pet peeve. But
it makes you feel some type of way.
Well, and yeah. And so Lily even asked if Brennan gave any details. And Emily said he came up with the solution. And here's the solution. Let's just focus on being friends and take all the pressure off the whole marriage part. Let's not focus on a marriage, focus on being friends. Mm-hmm. How many times can you be friend-zoned by somebody? I mean, Brennan has given every angle of the friend zone that he possibly could.
Yeah.
And she's just not picking up on it.
Here's the thing that bothers me, though. Because in all of this, her friends are now taking, and even Lily is taking her side, like, all right, well, let's not drag this girl through the dirt. But is it partly their fault, right? Because have they not told her that drinking is the problem with these guys that don't, they know how she parties. They know she parties hard. At what point are they going to tell her, hey, back up a little bit?
Well, my experience has been most people, but especially women, their clique of inner friends are all alike. So maybe her and her friends all like to get hammered. Mm-hmm. Now, they all can have successful careers by day when they're not drunk, but they go hard, right? So when Lily comes over, you know, she's making the arugula salad and they pour a glass of wine and she's like, hey, let me just bring the bottle because I know we're going to finish it. So if they're all the same way, they don't see anything
that
wrong with her behavior. Yeah, they don't see anything wrong with her behavior. Yeah, you know, they're all just like, we get drunk and we like to have fun and whatever. Who cares what these guys think? They don't know us. You know, so who knows, right? But I think that if her close group of friends are all drinkers similar to the way that she is, they don't see anything wrong with what she's doing.
See, Brenda is saying, you know, Emily has a drinking problem and Brennan did not want to expose her, but now he had to defend himself, right?
And good point.
It's true because he purposely has not said what the issue is. And, you know, if it's the drinking, is it even possible to even tell her it's your drinking? Because you ever try to tell somebody who loves to drink and gets sloppy drunk to, hey, back away from the alcohol just a little bit. It never goes well, ever.
Well, here's the thing you got to keep in mind. They're not close friends.
Right.
Like, I've had a close family friend that called me out on my drinking. And that's what led me down the path of, like, therapy and all that stuff because I was really going crazy. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't know her that well. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to get through the 8 weeks and he can move on. But he doesn't want to call her out on TV. So you got to give him a little bit of credit for that. Is he handling all this in the right way? No. Right. And I personally think that he should say something to her.
Yeah.
Off camera. Just be like, hey, here's my deal. You get way too hammered. I don't know what it is or why, but what's going on with you? But here's my issue. Let's talk about it. Because Emily seems to still be in the dark of why he's acting this way.
Well, Tracy says, it's not the drinking, guys. It's him. He's the problem. You can be right. Both things can be true. But let's be honest, the drinking can be a problem. Take it from two guys who can tell you that a woman who is sloppy drunk, and we've seen Emily be sloppy drunk, you know, doing handstands. Yeah, you know, she's twerking on the headlight at the stoplight. Okay, she's doing handstands in the corner, showing her drawers, if she had any on, at the bachelorette party.
Brennan wasn't there. She didn't even know Brennan. Exactly. That was all Emily on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And with her friends there. When if her friends, again, what true friends should have been like, hey, girl, sip you some water. I need you to sit down for about 5 minutes before you embarrass yourself. But her friends were all having a good time, too. So, and then I think they went on someplace after that and continued to party. So I think that's just what her clique is like. But I like how Lily asked her, why are you trying so hard when it seems like Brennan doesn't want to? And this makes me think that maybe they consummated the marriage of the honeymoon, because why would you try so hard for someone who keeps showing you they don't want you?
Right. No, very true. Lily suggests that Emily should take a step back. Good bit of advice?
I think she should. I think it's good advice, because what she's telling her is take a step back and look at this whole thing from the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. You are way too invested in somebody who's not interested, who keeps telling you they're not interested.
Right.
That's the issue.
Yeah. And you think she's still invested because they probably slept together.
I think so, because like she has way more hope than anybody has. Look at Claire and Cameron. No intimacy, nothing.
Yeah.
And it's a given. We all agree, hey, y'all probably shouldn't work out.
Right.
In this case, Brennan and Emily were good at the honeymoon until they got ready to leave.
Right.
And so something happened. I think they probably slept together. But then he started to realize how drunk she gets.
Yeah.
And maybe he's turned off. So I think maybe we were wrong in saying that Brennan's issue is the fact that she's not been in a relationship and had a bunch of one-night stands. It's the fact that she could be a sloppy drunk and it just turns him off.
You know what? We wondered why he seemed so agitated when they were out playing, you know, those little games that she won. And she's like, but remember, and you said something about her drinking at that time. But if you've already seen it before and then it pops up again, you're like, wait a minute. All right, I know what this is. And it could be one of those things that you just go, okay, that's it. Because we saw how agitated he got at that point, and we were kind of like, wait a minute, you know? So, hey, shout out to Sherry J. Says, hi, Yanni Rude and Just Tell. I'm catching my first live. Welcome, and thank you. And thank you for your donation.
Welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sherry. Really appreciate that.
look at this. High Vibe says, you know what? They had drunk sex, in my opinion.
That's possible. They might have. The first, second night of the honeymoon. And then the more he starts seeing how much she drinks, because remember, I brought this up at the honeymoon. When they're having breakfast, what's Brennan drinking? Mm-hmm. Coffee and water.
Mm-hmm.
What's Emily drinking? Mimosas.
Hey, but if they had drug sex, she probably broke out the handcuffs, and that probably scared him because he's no longer in control. So,
yeah, I don't think that would be it. I think it's something else. Even if she's way more freaky than him, that's just going to be more of a turn on than anything else.
Shamuriel said, I take a sip of water every time Emily says like. I'm very hydrated by the end of the episode.
I'm glad it's water and not alcohol, because you'd be like Emily.
Oh, as Connie Pudemom says, me too, Tara. Like, I hate like when people say like, you know.
Yes. I get it. It's part of our how we all speak, and it's easy to do. But when you sit and listen to someone that does it all the time, it's just kind of draining.
Not to be left out, Melissa says, if Brennan says same one more time, I'm going to drive to Denver and punch him in the mouth.
So apparently we're going to get to that when we talk about those questions. Yeah. Same.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, do us a favor, man. You already in here? Like Kendra said, hit that like button. We appreciate it. We definitely appreciate
that.
And if you're not subscribed, go ahead and subscribe and hit the bell for notifications, too. That way, you'll know next time we are live, like tomorrow, when we do the Ready for Love episode one. And this is what, season 12, right? Episode one recap.
Ready to Love season 9.
Season 9. Okay, there we go. See, you can tell I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I watched it early today. That's why I was like, wow, 9 episodes? Because we only did that one. Yeah. I was like, well, y'all been doing this for 9 seasons? Wow, I didn't know that. Good job, Tommy. 8,
but you didn't want to do it, so you know what, man. I'm glad you're back. Well, Michael's back. Neither him nor the experts dug deep enough when they matched him the first time, because he didn't also reveal enough. Because now they're like, well, now we know a little bit more about him. We wanted somebody to match his style. Now we want to match his character. What?
Yeah.
How's this work?
I don't know, but I laughed at that too, because it'd be one thing if they went through a different group a different pool of people. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's like a raffle, mm-hmm. right? You got a little bucket, just dig your hand in it. Number 376, 376, and 376 showed up, and then the number wasn't correct, and so you had to sit around. You go right back into the same bucket of tickets. And so mm-hmm. They went back into the same pool of ladies to find Michael a match, and they found Chloe.
Right. Now, the experts all like Chloe, right?
Just like they liked the first one for Michael, but go ahead.
They did like the first one. Well, apparently, and if you forgot who Chloe was, apparently she's the one that has an affinity to not have a nightstand. Like, she's like, yeah, we don't need nightstands here. So,
she's hey, 39. I thought that was crazy because I thought, remember we had that conversation about the nightstands?
Yes.
Oh, I never always had one just on my side of the bed, but never one on the other.
Yeah, you selfish bastard, yes.
Apparently, there are women out there who don't like nightstands. And I'm a minimalist too, but that wasn't a reason why I didn't have one. I just didn't think about someone else on that side of the bed.
You and her would have worked out because you kept the nightstand only on your side. She's like, that's fine. I don't need one anyway. It would have worked out. Look, here's the thing. Let's play matchmaker. She's 39, he's 38. So,
yeah. All right. She's still interested in doing the show. He's still interested in this again. We got a match. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
And they're very sure that she's going to make it at least to the vows.
That's all they want. At least they'll get through that.
Now, they show Chloe with her friends, and I'm like, really? Do we have to go through all of this again? And her telling her friends? And I'm like, so I kind of tune out. I'm not going to lie. I tuned out, and I'm like, okay, she's going to tell them she got selected. Then all of a sudden, Dr. Pepper shows up. I'm like, wait, oh, so she didn't tell them that. So what the hell did they think they were sitting there for?
Because they do. That's just it. That's the whole thing. We know this is crap. Because if I show up to dinner with you at a restaurant and there's cameras all over the place, I'm like, hey, pause. What are we doing here? What's going on with all the, why is this camera? Why is there a boom mic?
Sir, what I need you to sign this.
Yeah. What am I signing? Nope. You can call me on my cell. I'm walking out. So you didn't really miss a whole lot in the conversation. Mm-hmm. But you do get a chance to know a little bit more about Chloe during this segment of right. the show. And, you know, Chloe's been this self-described recovering perfectionist. Mm-hmm. She's always had a 4.0 up to her senior year of college.
Right.
She's very driven, but yet she is selfless because she works in a nonprofit. So mm-hmm. she's a senior director in a nonprofit. You know, she's had 10 senior dogs in the last 7 years, which I knew you wouldn't be able to stand, especially that dog on the bed with her. She said she'd rescue a raccoon if she knew it wouldn't hurt her. You know, so she's a different person. But here's my concern about this match, that I think it's a bad match so far. Chloe seems to have it all together, but I feel like she's beyond the age of Married at First Sight. And what I mean, not so much by number, by life experience. This is why I couldn't do the show. I'm so set in my ways in some cases. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't be open to a stranger. And, oh, well, you know, the matchmakers thought we would be a good fit. I will totally compromise on X, Y, Z. No, I'm not. And I think that's where Chloe's at. Well, that I don't know if she would be able to compromise.
Maybe not now. But after seasons 1, 2, and 3, you might have been like, you know, this might work. We have to go watch those three to understand.
You know me all too well.
Okay.
You know me. So don't even try to put that out there. You know me. It wouldn't work out that way.
Look, Dr. Pepper said, as Dr. Pepper, right before she said this, I was thinking this, right? As she's telling Chloe, I'm like, but are they going to tell her? And then Dr. Pepper goes, well, we didn't tell Chloe about what happened with Michael before and why she's actually getting married to Michael, because they didn't want to give her any doubt and any preconceived notions about him prior to meeting him. They wanted her to meet him with clear mind, clear hearts. Remember the Titans. You agree?
I disagree. I wish they would have told her. Because we're making an assumption that Michael's original partner walked into the place, saw Michael, and said, nope, not doing this. I think she was out way before she even got a chance to see him. I think it would be fair to tell Chloe, hey, here's a little heads up. Here's why you're jumping in mid-season. Here's what's been going on, without really giving a whole lot of detail about Michael, but at least to assure her that it wasn't because this person saw Michael and was uninterested. This person just backed out of the whole process altogether before she even saw him. But at least give Chloe a bit of a heads up of what she's walking into.
Okay, but let's be honest. If they tell her that, even the way you said, it wasn't because she saw him, she'd already made up her mind, but she went down the aisle to tell him. You're not good. If somebody told you that, you'd be like, all right, so what's this person going to look like? And then, of course, Dina says the experts need to tell Chloe about Michael's haircut.
I don't think so. And here's why I say I don't think so.
That could have been what it was.
Yeah. We got to separate our reality from Married at First Sight.
It's
possible. There's been other seasons where people had cold feet about the process and backed out. Maybe they backed out before they got to the wedding stage and they were able to find a replacement. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows, right? But it's possible somebody could want to back out last minute over the whole deal. I mean, you got the cameras on you. You got so much going. So, I think they still should have told him.
Star and M says, I thought it was okay. They didn't tell her before, but Michael can tell her after. Yes, that may be the best. Like, they told him, hey, tell her after y'all say I do. Don't say it before. We want her to say I do. Okay.
So, is he supposed to, I do, you may kiss the bride. As they're walking, I'll be like, whoa, I'm glad you stuck around, because the last one that came, as soon as she walked out down the aisle, she said no, but so glad I got you.
No, you tell her after you pop the champagne in y'all toast. Hey, thank God number two worked out. But that's the other problem, too. Because how much confidence does that put in her to know she's second choice? She's second fiddle. Nobody wants to be second fiddle. Nobody.
Hey, silver medal's not bad.
It's the difference between silver medal and second choice.
You can just call that, hey, number two. Good morning.
You know what number two is if you're in the house.
So yeah. What's he going to do? I'm going to go in the bathroom and take a Chloe.
See, that's exactly why the experts didn't tell her. Because of people like you. What is wrong with you, man?
Oh, what? That's just, she's number two. You know, it's just think.
Oh, goodness. And, see, Jennifer agrees. She's going to feel like second choice. Exactly. That's what it is. But look, so we'll see more about them, man. I just really wish, I know they have to do this for her so she gets the full experience. And they kind of do it, they're kind of speeding through it. Like, well, you're going to get married in a couple days instead of in 2 weeks. But
right.
For me, I'm like, we're halfway through the season. I don't need to restart. I am not Emily or Brennan. I don't need a reset. Let's just skip to them. Say, let's get to the altar. I do. All right, let's go. Let's speed them along. Let's hurry this up. This feels like it's just dragging, right? So
yeah,
that's the biggest problem I have with them. But Becca and Austin, we get to them, and we know Austin wants kids, and you said she's kind of indifferent. And they decide to do something instead of having kids this early. They got fish.
Okay. That's so awesome. That's so awesome. I mean, we all know those people. People love fish. Yeah. I mean, how many of those people are like, hey, you know, I haven't spent enough time with my fish lately, so I'm going to stay at home tonight and hang out with my fish. No, dog, yes, cat, yes, but fish. It's the pet that no one cares. I mean, you throw them, you flush them down the toilet when they die, and you move on. But I've never seen someone emotionally distraught because their fish died.
Or, as we'll get to a little later, when Austin's mom said, when they misbehave, you just eat them.
Okay. How does a fish misbehave?
I don't know. That probably explained a lot about Austin too. We'll get to that meeting with the parents later. But and just in real, because these are just really quick moments with now another one, Claire and Kobe, who's her cousin. Mm-hmm. And same thing you said earlier. Claire acting as if this whole thing is heartbreaking for her. Why?
Because it makes you look good on TV, but I'm wondering is what are her friends going to think when they see the show? Mm-hmm. When they see the product, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know you really well, but if I see you cutting up on a reality show,
yeah,
even though I know you real well, I'd be like, dude, you are the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to get it together. And you're going to sell me on your side. That's what Claire's doing. Send everybody on her side and how awesome she is. But I just don't... I don't buy what Claire is saying about how she feels without Cam, and she says he's an important person to her. I just call BS.
Yeah. No, indeed. I think she's. It feels like she's trying to save face in front of the camera, and it just feels kind of like, yeah. I don't know. I'm tired. I'm tired of Claire. Let's be honest. I know Cameron can be who he is, but I'm really tired. I'm really, really tired of Claire. So I was happy when we moved on and we got back to Emily and Brennan because obviously they are the stars of this episode with their drama. They meet with Dr. Pepper and Brennan says they've tried their best to the best of their abilities. And of course, Emily responds with her eyes.
This is the part that annoyed me. So... Brennan is making it sound like they both agreed that they need this reset. And they both have tried and they're both in the same place. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case. This is all on Brennan. And so, Brennan said that we need to respect each other's boundaries when one needs time to themselves and to focus on the friendship and not the marriage. Right. So Dr. Pepper asked Emily if she thought the same thing about the reset and Emily agreed. I was like, what?
I was shocked too. Why?
Yeah. What? You don't agree with any of this.
It's like Karen says, Emily should use her words. Why?
Yes.
Like, why is she just going along? And then I like what Dr. Pepper did, because Dr. Pepper just seems to be... the one thing I did notice is that Dr. Pepper wasn't picking up on a lot of cues, right? And I thought she missed a lot of cues. But then she did ask, what kind of friendship are they resetting? Is it the cool to hang out friendship or the really close friendship? Because we all know which one it is. It's the deuces, right. I'll see you later friendship.
It's the acquaintance friendship. Like if I bump into you in Denver, I'll say what's up. But that's about it. So Dr. Pepper asks each to give 5 things they like about each other. And Brendan struggled hardcore. He said she's caring.
To get to 1.
Awesome to hang out with.
2.
And we have a lot of fun together. So much 3. Fun. So much fun that he didn't want to move in with her. And then after the drunk night with the shower curtain, he's going to go back to his place, right? So he can come up with 3 things. Mm-hmm. And then Emily said...
And it took him a long time to get to those 3, too.
It did. It took him a while to get to just those 3. And then Emily said, well, I think he's caring, loyal, smart, funny, and trustworthy. And Dr. Pepper said she likes Emily's list more than Brennan's. And Emily said, that's usually how this goes. I use more words.
And Brennan was so agitated when she said that. Like, he was pissed when she said that. You saw that. And it was like, it was wild because that's when you got to see his reaction. But again, he didn't use his words.
Well, and that's where Dr. Pepper, I feel, should have interjected and dug deeper and asked some more questions about that. Hey, well, Emily, tell me more about you use more words than he does. And, like, try to dig into it.
You know who would have? Dr. Pia would have.
Yeah. She'd have put Brennan on that hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get these couples. And Emily said that she still has hope because of their strong emotional connection. And this is why I also think they slept together. Because what emotional connection do they have? Maybe she feels there's emotional connection because they slept together. And now he's like, no, I'm out. Mm-hmm. But there's no strong emotional connection that we've seen on camera. And then, of course, Brennan said, same.
Yeah. Kendra says Dr. Pepper's a fraud. Marla says Dr. Pepper doesn't watch the show. And the reason is because the tension that we can see, it's so easy to see it. But it feels like Dr. Pepper's not picking up on it at all, right? High Vibe says Emily came up with 3 real quick. Girl was lying through her teeth. Where's Brennan caring when they slept together?
Right. She's going back to, she's holding on to that special moment in Cancun where they consummated. And then maybe when she went to the bathroom to go pee, she fell, broke her wrist, and has been downhill ever since then. Who knows?
Star in the AM says it was weird he was cool with Dr. Pepper, but not Dr. Pia. No, Dr. Pia held his feet to the fire. Dr. Pepper let him just go. And that's the difference. Because Dr. Pia would not allow him that wiggle room. She didn't allow him to just say what he wanted and just move on from it. And every time he tried to challenge him, when he tried to come back at her, she just carefully put him back in his place.
Right.
Sit right there, little boy, and you wait. I'm going to deal with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she's not scared.
Yeah. And so Dr. Pepper suggests, you know, put a bunch of questions in a fishbowl and ask them to each other. Right. And I'm thinking to myself, but if the issue is Brennan doesn't communicate, how is this list of questions going to work?
Mm-hmm. And we'll find out because, of course, you know, we're going to get to them. And as Ariadne says, this episode was sponsored by the words like and same. which we'll get to more of those when we get to the fishbowl session. But after Dr. Pepper, they went back. They were talking after and they both said they felt good about the session and they feel optimistic about their task. And I'm like, do y'all even watch the show? Were y'all there when it happened? Because that's not what I saw.
No. No.
Jeez.
I think maybe they both have drinking issues. I don't see how both of you can walk out of that session going, you know what? I feel positive about the future of our relationship. You know.
It's like they went, all right, let's play for the cameras. Go.
Yeah. Definitely.
I didn't get it at all. I'll be honest. We got to Chloe and her dress shopping, and I did like this. I skipped all the way through it. What happened?
I think they could have skipped the part. They're trying to find the right dress. Just like every episode, the first dress she tries on is this pink, puffy, ugly dress that was just awful. And I like how she said that if I wore this, this is going to make the day all about me. Mm-hmm. And I really want this to be all about us. So I'm going to find a different dress. And the dress she picked out, I thought was decent. But you're right. You didn't miss anything. Could have just skipped over that whole segment.
Yeah, indeed. And then we get past that and get back to Becca and Austin meeting with Austin's parents and at a place where Austin used to work. And he said that's where he kind of really grew up working there.
Yeah.
We get to learn a lot more about him in this one, too.
What did he say, 7 years or so there working in that restaurant? Done all the jobs except bartend, I think. I thought the whole dinner was nice. The parents seem more receptive to Becca this time around than I've seen in the past. So I thought that was positive. I think the biggest highlight of this whole dinner was Austin worked at a place for 7 years in the service industry. Mm-hmm. They got fish. And the parents saying that they like Becca.
Yeah,
I was like, this is kind of
the
boring.
Mom saying that, hey, y'all got a fish? Well, great. If they misbehave, you can eat it. And we found out what kind of fish it was. It was a Dalmatian fish.
Yeah, Dalmatian fish.
Didn't know there was such a thing.
Me either. But I don't think, I'm sure there's some fish aficionados who are really, you know, excited about Dalmatian fish. But I know you and I were like, meh.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, here's what I did notice. And it kind of irritated me a little bit, but when the server was coming to bring their food, especially, and maybe it's because of where the cameras were, right? And they had to maneuver between them to do it. But did you notice that every time they came to put plates down, Austin had to duck out of the way every single time? Him and they had to part like the Red Sea so he could put the plates down. It just felt really awkward. I don't know why that stuck out to me because I've never worked in the service industry like that in that space, so I have no idea whether it was proper or not, but it just seemed to irritate me.
Well, having worked in the service industry for a long time, that's probably not how you would deliver the plates in between people, but you also don't have cameras and all that stuff around. So from the side parts of the table where there were no chairs, that's where you probably had all your camera crew, but that's normally where the server would deliver the food is from that side. Not you, but you had to go in between them because you're in front of in way of the cameras.
Right. And that's why I said, okay, maybe it's because of that. And that's why. Hey, do us a favor. If you've been here this long, please, if you haven't already, hit the like button. And if you're not subscribed, subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. As we get back to the couple of the episode, the fishbowl in the hot tub, Emily and Brennan. A lot of questions being asked here.
Yeah. So they're in the sauna And they have this whole list of questions. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, well, this is going to be interesting. But just watching their whole body energy and Brendan's body language seems like they're not all that interested. So Brendan pulls the first question, what are my boundaries? And Brendan wants space when they feel like they need space.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, you said that multiple times.
Yes.
Emily, leave me the hell alone. That's what he's telling you this whole time. And then Emily's question was, hardest thing I had to forgive. And she said it was her dad with how hard he pushed her as a kid. And she had to work through that in therapy, which tells us Emily's already been through some therapy before, which is why she's a good advocate for it. Mm-hmm. Brendan said his parents said there were some things they could have handled better. We don't really know why, but I thought that was a great moment for Emily to like, hey, dig deeper. Ask. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did you think about that part?
I think it was interesting, especially since, you know, Emily has an issue with all of Brendan's answers, right? Here's the difference. It's so tuned out that when Brendan really shares a heartfelt moment, she skips past it and goes straight to the next question in the bowl. It's like she's so tuned out by him just not sharing enough. Like he has a real moment with her. Here he is talking about his relationship with his sister. And in this moment, she's just, and you can see, he's like, I'm going to need a moment. I'm going to need just a little bit more time. And it's a chance for her to really dig a little deeper with him, a chance for her to get more out of him. She says he doesn't speak. This is the moment. This right here is the moment for her to actually get him to open up. And what does she do? She just skips right past and goes on to the next question like it's nothing.
She's so annoyed by him that maybe she's just checked out. But she had the first opportunity to dig deeper when she's talking about his parents.
Mm-hmm.
Then when he really opens up and shares something about his sister, which that's a tough thing to say on national television about your sibling, right? That would have been a great moment to dig deeper and ask some questions. He said that their relationship was causing more suffering than happiness. Well, that's when you want to pause from the fishbowl and be like, hey, tell me more about that, Brendan. Hold his hand. Something.
Well, you know why? Probably not, because Tracy says, actually, Brendan just repeated what she said about her dad and said that about his sister. You know what? Maybe that's why she's like, whatever, same. Next question.
Yeah, well, but he also didn't go through therapy. Yeah. To deal with his sister, like Emily went to therapy to deal with her dad. So the next question was, name one thing you've given up for difficult reasons. And Brendan said he gave it. Oh, I'm sorry. We already just covered that one. Have you given up on something you wish you hadn't? Tell me the story. And Brendan said, yeah, I want to pass on that.
Yeah, of course he does.
And
I gave up on the chick that I was dating before I got on the show.
Before I came to the show.
It was your drunk ass.
So he chooses not to answer, moves on. So then Emily said, wish she didn't give up on her dream of being a sportscaster, which I thought was interesting, that's what she really wanted to do. So the next question for that, one thing I haven't told you that would give you more insight to who I am. What was Brendan's answer? Let's come back to that one.
Brendan didn't want to be there. Where is it? Layla said, that hot tub scene was too cringy. Brendan clearly wanted to say, just shut the hell up. Like, stop asking me questions. Even though they were excited to do this. Until they got there.
Well, excited is a total different, maybe has different interpretations for them. So Emily asked him, like, why is this so hard for him to be able to open up and share some stuff? And so Brendan said, being on camera, it doesn't show any good. Or that he only really wants to show good stuff on camera. He doesn't really want to show
that. Okay, that was an overdub. The voice was so different.
Was it?
And it was on a different microphone. That was an overdub. And you notice it was on the back of his head. Yeah, he was moving, but that was not him speaking in that moment. That was definitely an overdub. That was terrible. And that was they did not want to show him in a good light in that space. Because what he said made absolutely no sense.
No, it didn't. Because I even wrote it down word for word. I'm like, it only it doesn't show any good, and he only wants to show the good.
What? That made no sense. That was edited audio from somewhere else. It was an overdub. They placed that there. It was terrible. Y'all should be ashamed because the audio was so bad. And,
yeah.
And you usually catch this. I thought you caught that one because you usually catch these because I'm usually half watching, doing something else at the same time while I'm doing it. And then it's like, no, that one was bad.
Yeah, no, I caught the other part that happened in the hot tub. I caught that where I was just like, this doesn't make any sense, the way that came out. So next question was, what worries you most in the moment? And Emily said, the reset is going to backfire and not let them be civil at the end. Mm-hmm. Brennan's response, same.
Same. In other words, I hate you now and I'm going to hate you later. He was on his calice. I hate you so much right now. It's okay.
But the reset is your idea. So then at this point, Brendan said he's getting hot and losing consciousness in the hot tub. Now, that whole dialogue around him getting hot and all that, I feel like that was dubbed over too, because it just didn't make sense.
Right.
That of what him saying that I'm about to pass out
right
in the hot tub. I just, and Emily's point was, you're in the hot tub for 2 hours the other day. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the big deal now? So then Emily, of course, she all of a sudden the athlete in her comes out and she's like, oh my God, you are fine. Suck it up. Which, of course, we know triggers Brennan. If a woman tries to tell him anything, especially something like that.
Yes.
And I think he alluded to it when he get back into the question games when they sit out of the tub. But we know he doesn't like being told anything like that.
Oh, I was ready. Once they were sitting outside of the tub, I was ready for him to cuss her out because that was the look on his face. He was done. And like Tracy says, they should have just had friend questions, quote unquote friend questions. Like, hey, what is your favorite ice cream? But that's not what Dr. Pepper had told them to do. And to their credit, at least they went with these questions. These were hard-hitting questions that they were not ready for. At least he wasn't ready for, and there was no way he was going to answer these any better.
But I think the way they went into this whole question game, it was, you ask me a question, I will answer it, and then you answer that same question. Now my turn. I think in actuality, the purpose of the game is, here's a question. Ooh, this could generate some dialogue for us to be able to dig deeper and get to know each other. Right. And so you keep asking more questions. It's not just check box. We asked all the 20 questions in the bowl. All right, we're done.
Yep.
We're winners. So the next question was, what have you fought the hardest for? Tell me the story. And then this is another dub part where Brendan somehow starts talking about doing push-ups in the sauna.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does this have to do with anything? Mm-hmm. It just didn't make any sense. And so Emily's response was, she's fought for them in this marriage. And Brendan said, same.
Same. That is, hey. Like, he's just like, I'm done. How many more we have? Five? All right, same.
Well, I think this is when Brendan was trying to speak to us. Because the question was, I could be sensitive about blank and why. So Emily says she's sensitive about everything and everyone. Brendan said he gets sensitive when someone questions his character or makes something being a bigger deal than what it actually is. Mm. And I think he was referring to Emily giving him a hard time about wanting to get out the sauna because he was hot.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, look, this was, you and I knew this was going to be a dud when Dr. Pepper suggested this. We knew this was not going to be good. Why they were excited confused me because you knew this, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so at that point, Emily says, well, do you want to get out so you don't kill over and die? So, of course, that upset Brennan. And she said, I was being dramatic because you were being dramatic. Mm-hmm. And then they get into a fight about being in the hot tub and they get back to the house, still talking about the hot tub. And Brendan's like, you don't have my back. And she's like, you don't have my, I'm just like, this is so over. Let's just be done and just move on.
This was interesting to watch. Because now this should be the moment that you're happy because this is Emily doing the things you wanted her to do, which is speak up. And that's what she did. That's why she didn't care. She's in, IDGAF mode right now, right? That's why she's saying the things she says, because she's just like, F it. Here we go. Because now she knows what provokes him. Now she's in Yanni mode. I know it provokes you, so I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. And I'm going to keep doing it. And that's what she did in that hot tub.
That's what Yanni mode is? Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, you know that. I think you've seen that firsthand.
I have, but you only do it to the people you don't like.
Yeah.
You've never done that to me.
She doesn't like him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. She doesn't like him anyway. So, I mean, look. What I do like is that when we get to the next episode, because, of course, that's the end of the episode, and we see, you know, next time on Married at First Sight. And we see her cross him over and score a goal in soccer. And I'm like, hey, that's what I'm talking about. Show him, you know, who's the man in this relationship. Show him you don't only fall down when you drink. You don't score when you drink.
I do think Emily has some opportunities, but I think there's some good things there. If Brendan could just get over himself, he'd see it. And I could see why the experts match them up. But, you know, Brendan is just totally checked out. There's not a thing that Emily could do that's going to change how Brendan sees her.
Yeah.
And we still don't know the details of why. Like, this is one Married at First Sight that I can't wait for a reunion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And Layla says, Brendan is so done, not going to even fake trying to save this marriage. Not at all. And then Bodine says, Brendan's dad is an alcoholic. I think Emily's love of drinking triggers him.
I don't think so at all. Because I think if it was that serious, that would be something you could easily tell your wife. Hey, I come from a family of alcoholics. And I don't want to say this on camera, but can you tone it down a little bit because it's triggering me? That's something you can easily say that doesn't make her look bad. It's just saying that, hey, I have some concerns because of what I grew up with.
Right.
His issues are something totally different.
Could be. Well, don't forget tomorrow, we've got the Ready to Love recap, season 9, episode 1. Before we get out of here, let's get back to some of these comments here. Back when we were talking about Dr. Pia's ring, which you did not notice, and I can't believe you didn't.
Little judgy.
Nikki B says, judgy. It was on camera like this.
Okay, maybe I went to go pee, and I missed it. Sorry.
Nikki B says, please, that's a James Allen ring for sponsorship. I would agree with you, except they would have shown the box somewhere. James Allen is not going to miss the opportunity to get their name out there. Every other time we've seen them, you know, scrolling through James Allen just to get it, right? By the way, Dina says, what? Y'all are doing Ready to Love again? I thought it was too low vibrational, Terrell.
It is, but it's better than 90 Day. And so if I have to choose, I will take Ready to Love. And after watching this season, I'm going to have a lot to say about a lot of these folks on here. So let's really have some fun with it.
Now, remember when we were talking about Michael and Chloe and the experts not telling Chloe about Michael at the altar before, right? Now, one of the things I was saying was that, you know, she's going to feel like second fiddle. And Dina had said in that point, she's not second fiddle to him. He didn't choose the first woman who flaked on him, but she did. The experts did. And the experts... Right. Were the choosers in this one.
Right. So. He's second fiddle to what the experts chose.
High Vibe says, well, Bliss got over it on Love is Blind. She still fell in love with, what's his name? The Bob Dylan looking guy. Yes,
very true. Very true, High Vibe. But that's the exception, not the rule. We can't say, well, this person got over it, so anybody could get over it. No, that's the exception.
Love is Blind is different, and Bliss knew him. She liked him. She wanted him. Remember, because in the pods, they're talking. So then there's that, right? So there's that part of it, and that's why. Remember, we're talking about the fish, and you're saying, yeah, nobody cares when fish die. Celine says, Rudy Huxtable was distraught over her goldfish.
Oh, an actress? Acting? Yeah.
Well,
she did great.
She's also connected to Married at First Sight. Yeah. So I love the reference there. That was great, Celine. Yeah. And Dina said, "Hey, she shed a few tears when her fish of 3 years died."
I'm not knocking it. All I said was I've not seen it, but I doubt that if you try to call into work, they're like, "Why are you not coming in?" Well, my fish died. They're gonna be like, "Okay, so see you at 8:30, 8:45. What time are you gonna be here?"
Oh man, look, we're gonna have some fun with the rest of the season. It's, I know people are calling it the worst season ever. I think even Tara G said it's worst. It tops Chris's season, which is what, season 12.
That man can't catch a break.
He cannot. People will not let him live.
No. It blesses his heart. I've met the guy, right? I get it, but man. People grow. People change. Even on his social media, people will still throw some stuff in. I'm like, that was years ago.
Oh, they will. Chris will never live this part down. And he's doing, here's the thing about it. Here in Atlanta, he's doing a lot of good things. Like, he'll do a lot of giveaways. It's Christmas time, he did some great giveaways. When he opened up his car dealership, he gave away a car to a mom. Because, you know, it doesn't. You know what you asked? How we started this podcast. What can someone do? They will not let that brother live. And so, okay, Chris, I give it up to you, brother, just because, hey, at the end of the day, you still try, still pushing, still excelling at the end of the day. So it's fine. Look, see? Shoshana says, wow. Chris chose his fate.
I mean, he did. We told him, hey, you got to live with this stuff. You said it. But he was still nice enough to come on our podcast, so I'm never going to hate on the guy because he didn't have to. He's not done any other podcast, any other interviews. He did it with us, and I respect him. But I do agree with Yanni that looking at the things he's doing in Atlanta, at some point as a society, we got to figure out how do we forgive and forget and let people move on, which is what started this whole podcast in the first place. We can't hate somebody, you know, forever. At some point, we got to say, hey, you know, they did something jacked up. Let's get something jacked up, give them some time to deal, and then after that we can say, okay, come back into the fold of society, you're okay now. And I think that's where we should be with Chris. That's just my take on it.
Look, you said move on too, right? Yes, and you're absolutely right, because look, like Trace World 2 says, Paige is married with a baby. She's moved on.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. She's happy. All the black queens, all the Latin queens.
See, y'all let it go.
That was funny, though. When he said that in the interview, I was just like, did you just say?
You give me this one?
Yeah. And you called him out on that. You're like, all the black queens, all the white queens, all the Hispanic queens. Oh, man.
Oh, dear God. Y'all are hilarious. I love you guys, man. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. Know when we go live, like tomorrow, Thursday, and then Friday. We love you guys.
Yeah. And for those of y'all that are dealing with this inclement weather, make sure you take care of yourselves, take care of your family, check on your neighbors. You know, what tends to happen is in some cases, some people have power, some don't. Some have running water, some don't. Check on your people around you and help each other out and try your best to stay as warm as possible over these next few days.
Exactly. Hey, I'm Yanni Rood.
I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit from the internet. We'll talk about it on our regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
How about them Cowboys? Sorry, I had to. I'm sorry.